Weekly Spooky is brought to you by our generous supporters on Patreon. Get access to exclusive podcasts, videos, and more for as little as $1 a month when you go to weeklyspooky.com and click on the Patreon link. Your support has gotten us to 100 episodes, so join up today and help us create another 100 and beyond. Head over to weeklyspooky.com and join the Patreon.
What's that? You want to be scared? Come with me. You will experience tales of horror, ghosts, and death. It is not recommended for the weak at heart. Listen in the dark. It's more fun that way. This is Weekly Spooky.
Hello, my friends. It's Wednesday, and that means it's time for a little spooky in your weekly. I'm your host and narrator, Henrik Kuto, and we have a fun one tonight because we're going to be taking ourselves back to Strickfield to see what our angel of death, Rage, is up to. And wouldn't you know, even though it's technically spring, in Strickfield, Ohio, they're having a blizzard. Because if you don't like the weather in Strickfield, just wait 5 minutes and try not to get murdered while you're at it. But before we get to that, I want to say a huge thank you to everyone who's listening to this episode right now. Please make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast app. And if you want to do us a favor that costs you absolutely nothing, give us a star rating on your favorite podcast app, whether that be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or one that I'm not even aware of. If you drop us a little star rating, it can help many new people discover the show and help us keep bringing the spooky every single week. Speaking of bringing the spooky on the weekly, if you go to weeklyspooky.com right now and click on Patreon, you can become one of over 80 people who are helping us make the show happen. We're at over 130 episodes and haven't missed one yet, with your help. So head over there. I'd love to see us have over 100 Patreon backers by the end of this year. Just go to weeklyspooky.com and click on Patreon. Get access to all kinds of exclusive content and help keep the show rolling and rolling and rolling. Of course, there's lots of other good things you can look at weeklyspooky.com, but we'll talk about that after the story because right now, I feel a chill in the air. I think something's up. Something's a little amiss. And I think it has to do with murder. So, get comfortable. Let's enjoy the story and I'll talk to you afterward, right now. Sick with Rage by Rob Fields. I came into my dorm room after returning from DeNoyer's Grill. The funny thing was, I just couldn't make myself eat anything. I had my favorite meal right there in front of me. Pancakes, sausage, scrambled eggs, bacon, and a cup of dark coffee. All I could do was drink the coffee. I ended up taking the food to go. I put the food on the counter and removed my coat. Whoa. I really felt off. Then I had to move. Fast. I just barely made it to the toilet as I fell to my knees. When I finished throwing up, I picked myself up and looked in the mirror. I looked and felt like shit. I'd been feeling a little off for a few days now. The problem with me is that I don't fully feel pain like the rest of you. I must have been sick for a while and wasn't feeling it until now. After I took my temperature and came up with 102.3, I assessed my other symptoms. Sniffles, headache, dizziness, loss of appetite, fever, body aches, chills, vomiting. I think I caught that flu that was going around Strickfield. On top of that, it was in the middle of a blizzard. I decided to just stay in my dorm until I felt better. Another problem was that I was feeling my bloodlust nagging away. I guess it didn't care whether I was sick or not. I'd have to pick up a fresh kill as soon as I was better. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Reagan Devereaux. Most everybody calls me Rage. I'm a serial killer who goes after the worst of the worst. Yes, I suppose you're thinking of Dexter Morgan, but trust me when I say he's got nothing on me. Unlike Dexter, I have a highly photographic memory, feel very little pain, and truly lack emotions. In fact, I only feel things in the physical, much like my being sick. After throwing some extra blankets on, I changed and got into bed. I was ready to fall asleep when my smartphone rang. I didn't want to answer it, but it could have been Drake, or the Strickfield PD with a lead on the Queen of Hearts killer case. As part of my college studies, I work with the police as an intern, and Drake was shadowing me. It was Delphine Brewster Sloan calling. I answered the phone and talked to her. Delphine was the only one who knew I was a serial killer. Last Christmas, after she and I took down a killer Santa Claus, she told me she knew my secret, and how. I knew Delphine wouldn't call me, unless she wanted to check on me, or it was an emergency. Unfortunately for me, it was the latter. Franklin, her stepson, hadn't been home for almost a week. No calls or texts. She was really worried. As a matter of fact, her husband, Joseph, hadn't been home in 3 days himself. Again, no calls or texts. She tried talking to the police, but they told her to file a missing persons report. Now she was calling me. Delphine knew Franklin broke up with me shortly after that Christmas to remember. Yet, she kept in touch with me. Now she's asking if I could use my detective skills to find Franklin and Joseph. I wanted to tell her I was too sick to really do anything, but my bloodlust was demanding a life. I really didn't have a choice here. Delphine had been meeting with me and having me do activities to help potentially trigger my first emotional response. Also, just by reading her voice, she sounded quite desperate. I had to help. I told her I'd be over shortly. After putting my smartphone down, I got out of bed and almost fell to the floor. I managed to balance myself on the wall. I took a few deep breaths and forced myself to go into overdrive. I changed into normal clothes and faced forward as I walked out into the small hallway. I grabbed a soda out of the refrigerator and dug my food out of the Denoyer's Grill bag. I left my dorm and walked out into the blizzard. The wind was really blowing and snow was just going anywhere and everywhere. I forced myself to eat my pancakes with the eggs, sausage, and bacon tucked in between. To be honest, the soft drink went down easier than the food. I stopped off to throw the empty can away. After I did, I took a few steps, dropped to my knees, and threw up again. So much for trying to put food in my stomach. After I wiped my mouth, I got up and forced myself to keep moving. I really felt like shit now and was shaking all over. I hit a pop machine just before reaching Delphine's house and drank a few more sodas. So far, I was able to keep those down. I think I caught my flu from Detective Drake Kazmirak. When he was sick, I took care of him. I ran his errands, made him food, played his nurse. I almost never got sick. Now I had this flu. Drake would give me hell if he knew I was out in the blizzard while sick like this. I reached Delphine's house. She let me in and offered to take my coat. I told her I'd be leaving once I finished talking to her. Delphine gave me a cup of coffee and offered me a chair. I declined to sit on the count of becoming too relaxed and allowing my flu to get the better of me again. Delphine sat and talked to me. "You haven't met my biological daughter, Rigby. She and I are estranged. You know I'm a woman of God. I've tried to reach and do right by Rigby. As she got older, she became more rebellious. Little did I realize how interesting things would get once I met Franklin's father. I didn't know that Rigby and Franklin, Joseph's son, had already known each other. Joseph and I talked more after his wife passed away. We fell in love and eventually married. I don't know what it is, Reagan, but something's just never been right with Rigby after I married Joseph. I was processing what Delphine was telling me. You suspect Rigby? I asked. Delphine shook her head quickly. I just don't know, Reagan. It seemed to me Rigby and Franklin were getting along so well. She seemed happy. When it got closer to our wedding, she became more rebellious and belligerent against me, her own mother. Reagan, what's the matter? Since I was standing, my nasal passages were still open. If I would have sat or laid down, one or both nostrils would have been completely swollen shut. Something smelled off in this house, even through the smell of fresh hot coffee. You don't smell that, Delphine? I asked. Delphine sniffed. Oh, that. I boiled some cabbage earlier. I tried cooking to calm my nerves. I shook my head quickly. No, it's not cabbage. I mean, I smell it a little, but this is... It stinks. Do you mind if I follow the smell? Delphine's eyes opened a little wide. Do what you have to do, Reagan. I nodded once and put my coffee mug down. I followed my nose to the stairway. Reagan! Delphine called out. I turned to see her handing me a kitchen knife. I nodded once and took it. Now, armed, I made my way upstairs with Delphine following closely. When we reached the top, I turned to her. The smell's stronger up here. Delphine sniffed again. I still don't smell anything. I scanned the hallway and then found the one door that stood out to me. The second I opened the attic, we were both hit with that smell. Delphine gagged now. Oh, God, I can't believe you could smell that from downstairs, Reagan, Delphine choked. Call it another way my brain's wired differently from yours, I said. Stay down here. I'm going up. No, I want to see what you find, she insisted. I considered her for a moment. Okay, but you were warned. I led the way up into the attic. I was only about halfway up when I saw the source of the stench. Delphine, stop! What is it? She demanded. I turned to her. Go call the police, right now. Delphine's face told me she was determined and wouldn't move away. I realized I really couldn't stop her. Again, Delphine, you were warned. Then I stepped aside. Delphine reached the top of the stairs and screamed. Her husband, Joseph, was hung by his neck off a wooden beam. What was more, there was blood everywhere. You could easily see that he had been cut open and his heart extracted. Then I saw the Queen of Hearts playing card in Joseph's hand. Oh, God! God, why? Why him? Delphine wailed. He was a good man! I came and stood beside her. Then she turned to me. I could read she was very angry as she looked me over. She reached out and grabbed me, but then she showed restraint and let go. If I could be surprised, perhaps I would. She was bowing and kneeling to me. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to lay a hand upon your angel of death. Delphine kept thinking that I was truly the angel of death from the many versions of the Holy Bible. She kept regarding me as such ever since I saved the lives of several children back when I was a freshman at North Ridgeway High, and unknowingly hers. She discovered I was a serial killer when I castrated the pedophile minister who kidnapped the children to make the punishment fit the crime. I took hold of her and brought her to her feet. Stop! You have no clue that your God sent me here to be an instrument of death. I could tell Delphine wanted to yell, but she took my hands. We'll discuss this later, Reagan. You need to find the one who did this. You must stop that person before more lives are lost. I nodded once. In that, we agree. Now call the police. Delphine nodded quickly. I'll call them after you leave. I won't tell them you were here. But you, stop, whoever is doing this. May I look for clues in Franklin's room? I asked. You may. I left the attic and went down to Franklin's room. His smartphone was laying on the desk, more proof that he may have been taken. I picked up the phone and hacked into it. He had many pics of himself and Rigby. They looked so happy together. Each pic was now in my highly photographic memory. Then I saw another photo entry with my first name and opened it. Every pic Franklin had taken of me or us was still here. Why did he keep them? He broke up with me shortly after he proposed marriage. Unable to feel emotions, I couldn't understand that. I put the phone down and walked out. I headed back outside into the blizzard. Even in my sickened state, my brain still functioned normally. I was already determining possibilities. Delphine mentioned her daughter, Rigby. I found her number and address on Franklin's phone. She lived in a loft near the Castalia River. It took me about 15 minutes to reach it. The loft was secluded, no nearby neighbors. There were no lights on. I picked the lock and went inside. Suddenly, I had to run to the bathroom. I made it just in time to drop to my knees and throw up in the toilet. I took deep breaths and forced myself back to my feet. I flushed the toilet and came back out. I just wanted to lay down and sleep, but I forced myself into overdrive again, and then I saw a laptop on the table. I sat, turned it on, and hacked into it. There were more pics of her and other guys. The Queen of Hearts victims. She even had pictures of Joseph Sloan. In every case, all of them had their hearts removed and the Queen of Hearts playing card in one hand. I immediately compiled some more data. Between the pics on Franklin's phone and Rigby's laptop, I determined there was a house just outside of Strickfield that I needed to check out. I turned off the computer and put everything back the way Rigby had it before I entered into the blizzard's icy embrace again. Delphine called me back and asked for an update. I told her everything I knew. Are you investigating my daughter? She asked, bewildered. She's the only lead I have right now, I answered. The evidence and logic all point to her being the Queen of Hearts serial killer. A long silence on the other end. If it turns out to be Rigby, will you punish her? Delphine stammered. I will do what I must, I said, without hesitation. I understand. I wish it didn't have to come to this. She's my baby, Reagan. Delphine and I finished our conversation and hung up. I walked outside the Castalia River until I came to the house. The blizzard was more intense now. I felt even weaker, but I forced myself to keep going. I looked around the house but didn't see any lights. I was ready to pick the lock, but the door was open. I had to be careful here. I drew my knife and entered carefully. Once I closed the door, the dizziness started catching up to me. I moved to the sink, but I didn't throw up. When I was sure I was going to be okay, I grabbed a glass and drank some water. I rested just for a bit. I wasn't sure how much longer I could go on. I was likely to pass out at any time. I didn't even need to touch my skin to know I was burning up. I just wanted to fall to the floor. One more time, I forced myself into overdrive. I couldn't quit now. Delphine was counting on me to find Franklin. I know you're probably asking, why? Franklin told me he loved me, became engaged to me, and broke up with me shortly after. Shouldn't I be mad as hell about that? I suppose, if it were in me, then probably. But remember, I'm truly emotionless. I can't stress that enough. I truly do not feel anything regarding love or fear. I can only feel things in the physical. When Franklin broke up with me, all I could do was seek out another mate. You'd probably be surprised at how much different you'd feel if you didn't have emotion. Actually, no, you wouldn't. But I could feel my sickness, which was in the physical. I forced myself to keep moving and made my way through the house. I came to a basement door and carefully headed downstairs. I pulled out my pocket flashlight and looked around. I soon found jars with human hearts inside, 8 total. I read the labels that displayed the names and dates. The last name was Joseph Sloan. The date was 3 days ago. Rigby Brewster was definitely the Queen of Hearts. After finding nothing else of significant value, I returned to the stairway and headed back up. I clicked off the flashlight and searched until I was heading up more stairs. As I reached the top, I heard some groaning. It didn't take long to find the source, in the first room on the right. When I entered the room, the person tied up to the bed looked my way and made a muffled scream. I turned on my flashlight and saw it was Franklin. I knew I had to destroy Rigby now. The fact that she was Delphine's biological daughter did not excuse her from my judgment. I sat down next to Franklin. "I'll take your gag off, but you have to be quiet," I whispered. Franklin nodded. Then I removed the gag and untied him. "I'm going to get you out of here, Franklin," I said. "Rage? What are you... How did you..." he stammered. "Later. We have to go." Once my former mate was safe, I would return and claim Rigby. But just as I got off the bed, I became too dizzy and dropped to the floor. I was too sick to move, and I passed out. I woke up sitting. I wasn't sure how long I was unconscious, but I could feel my hands were tied behind my back. I still felt like shit, but at least I was rested a little to where I could be awake for the moment. We were in a room with only a single door, black walls, and no windows. Franklin was tied to a slab and was stripped down to his boxers. And then, Rigby Brewster herself came in. She had straight dark hair that went halfway down her back, very pale skin, and dark eyes. She was wearing only dark clothes and had dark fingernails. "You must be Reagan," Rigby said in a soft yet elegant voice. "Franklin just can't stop talking about you. Now, can you stay awake? Because, to be honest, you really don't look so good." "Why did you kidnap me like this, Rigby?" Franklin demanded. "Why are you doing this?" "That's not all she did, Franklin," I told him. "Rigby, why don't you tell him about all the hearts you have stored in the basement? Or should I call you the Queen of Hearts?" Rigby looked at me and laughed a little. "Oh, you weren't supposed to find those," she sighed. "Now that you know my secret, I suppose I can tell you everything before I add your heart to the collection." Franklin looked both frightened and surprised at the same time. "Rigby, what?" Rigby caressed the side of his face. "Oh, honey, when you and I fell in love, it was supposed to be forever, especially when we started having sex. I mean, you don't just steal a girl's heart, then completely rock her world the way you did. You even said you would stay with me forever. But then..." Her face goes from soft to pissed off in a hurry. "My fucking mom just had to meet your fucking dad. Mom knew I was seeing you, but she and Joseph just had to fall in love. They just had to get married, ruining any chance for us to continue our love. I mean, step-siblings aren't supposed to get married or see each other, right?" "Rigby," Franklin tried to protest. "You broke up with me, Franklin," Rigby stated. "2 months before Mom married your dad, you broke up with me. You just don't do that to the one you love." Then she screamed, "You broke my heart!" "But how are we supposed to continue with Dad and Delphine married and living together?" Franklin protested. "We could have carried on in secret," Rigby answered. "I begged and pleaded with you, but you just wouldn't give us that chance." She pointed to me. "Now you ended up falling for this other bitch. You turned away from me and eventually found Reagan. You gave your heart to Reagan. You even asked Reagan to marry you. That really hurt, Franklin. What, because she has such an angelic face and huge tits? You fucking men are all the same. Rigby gently ran a long fingernail between Franklin's pecs. But I'm going to have your heart once again. Forever. She looked at me. I really wish you hadn't found my hearts. Franklin, Rigby killed your father, I told him. She has his heart down in the basement, along with 7 others. She's the Queen of Hearts serial killer. Franklin gave her a weird look before he screamed and passed out. Typical fucking nerd, Rigby muttered. Then she turned to me. So, you killed those others, including Franklin's dad, because of what happened between him and Delphine? You're insane, I said. Have you ever been in love, Reagan? Rigby demanded. Yes, I suppose you have. You were ready to marry Franklin until I made him break up with you. I told him I'd kill his dad if he didn't. To prove my point, I killed Joseph and Mom's cat right in front of Franklin. You never wondered why he suddenly broke it off with you, right after he asked you to marry him? Now I had my answers. I was going to have to do some serious acting here and pretend that I had emotions. Is that the reason why I've been crying myself to sleep every night since then? Because of you? Franklin's heart belongs to me, Rigby snapped. After he broke up with me, I was determined to win him back by any means necessary. Joseph Sloan would have to pay. But you know what? There were other guys pining for me too, so I had to get rid of them. They were just going to keep right on coming. I trapped them all and took their hearts. I mean, they were looking to give them to me anyway. Killing my stepfather was the next step. He broke my heart by taking my mom as his wife, guaranteeing that Franklin and I would never be able to get married. So I came to the house 3 days ago and took his heart when Mom wasn't home. And what about your mom? I asked. After I finish with you, I'm taking her heart. She never cared about my feelings, so she is going to pay the price. But your own mother? She brought you into this world. It looked like I was selling her on my dramatics. And I'm going to take her out of it, Rigby replied. Mom and Joseph had no right to get together and separate Franklin and me. Talk about being selfish. Once I kill Mom, then Franklin can be mine once again. We'll be able to get married. And what about Franklin? I demanded. What if he doesn't feel the same way? I'll make Franklin see that he still loves me, just like I love him. I may be the Queen of Hearts, but I'm the only Queen of his heart. He'll see that I'm the best thing that ever happened to him. Yeah, I know he's a geek and everything, but he just has that charming quality about him. I'm sure you've seen it too. Probably why you fell for him. Rigby moved to her table and picked up a knife. My knife. And a Queen of Hearts playing card. I'm going to make such a mess in killing you, Reagan. But that's fine. Nothing I haven't done before. I'll slice your throat and let you bleed out. You probably won't even feel much of anything with you being sick and all. I'll probably be doing you a favor. And now, it's time to finish eliminating those who've come in between me and Franklin, so we can be together once again. Starting with you. As Rigby came at me, I revealed that my hands were free by grabbing her wrist with one hand and rising up and punching her in the face with the other. My punch would have knocked her on her ass if I was well, but it just made her stagger. I hit her again, harder this time, to make her drop the knife. Rigby screamed and grabbed my throat. My fever and fatigue were really working against me. I had to force myself into overdrive one more time. Rigby already overpowered me and had me on the floor. I'm going to choke you until your goddamn neck snaps, Rigby hissed. I only had one option available. As Rigby moved to get on top of me, I forced my legs to come up so I could lock her in the triangle choke. Once I had it fully locked in, she started fighting me. I had to summon all the strength I could keep to hold that lock tight and put her to sleep. Rigby fought like hell, but I focused my strength in spite of my flu. It took a few minutes longer than I would have liked, but I finally put her out. I released the triangle choke and stood up. I realized I didn't have much time. I had to claim Rigby and satisfy my bloodlust. I called upon whatever reserves of strength I had left to lift her up and put her on the table next to Franklin. I lifted Franklin off the table and put him down on the floor. Next, I found the duct tape and secured Rigby to the table. I made sure Franklin was still unconscious before I woke Rigby. When she was awake, she realized she was incapacitated. I would have brought pictures and the usuals to place on the walls, but this'll have to do, Rigby. I showed her her smartphone. I hacked it and found plenty of evidence on the phone alone to show the police that you're the Queen of Hearts killer. They'll find more evidence once they search your loft. But now, I'm going to remove your heart and leave it here with your body. Rigby immediately understood and became excited. Holy shit! You're the Angel of Death! You? Wow. You're just like me, Reagan. I shook my head. No. Never like you. I picked up my knife. You mentioned your mother and stepfather were selfish for marrying each other. I say you were selfish for murdering Joseph Sloan and those others just to have Franklin all to yourself. You even want to kill your own mother. Now, I have you all to myself. I raised the knife. And now, Rigby Brewster, let the punishment fit the crime. But, unfortunately, my flu hit me again. Instead of the knife, I went down fast and ended up going into blackness before I hit the floor. When I woke up again, I found myself in a hospital room, in bed. Delphine and Drake were both in the room with me. You're finally awake, Delphine said with relief. Franklin called me. I came out and found you both. Franklin and I put you in the car and brought you here. You've been in that bed for the last 3 days. She became more stern now. You should have told me you were sick with the flu. Drake approached me. I can't believe you risked your life being sick like that. I could tell by his tone that he was angry with me too. I did say earlier that he would give me hell. Franklin's okay then? I asked Delphine. He's fine, she assured me. You saved his life. What about Rigby? I asked. Delphine shook her head. I'm afraid I didn't see Rigby there. We saw what looked like someone was taped to the table, but whoever it was got free. Franklin took care of you until I came. I had to admit I was feeling much better. The hospital must have given me some good meds through my IV to help against the infection. When I started to move, Drake stopped me. Whoa, no you don't, Rage. You're staying right here until the doctor says you can go. You could have died out there, you know. That's how sick you were. But I didn't, I stressed. Drake gave me hell again, but then he softened up. He was in love with me, so he couldn't find it in himself to stay angry with me for very long. After a little while, he had to go to Strickfield PD. That just left Delphine and me. What happened to Rigby? I asked Delphine. She's killed several people, including your husband. I told you. She's the Queen of Hearts killer. When I told her about the evidence I found, including the hearts, Delphine became sad. I was hoping there would be some reconciliation between my daughter and me. You were really going to kill her. She's murdered at least 8 people, Delphine. I stressed. If you want to stop me from finding and claiming Rigby, now's your chance. Delphine shook her head. No. I'm afraid Rigby is lost to me. As the Angel of Death, you must do your appointed duty by God. I understand and will not interfere. Rigby has chosen her own path. The only thing I could do now was recover. Once out of the hospital, I would have to double my efforts to find Rigby. Besides my bloodlust, the other motivation was that now she knew who I was and could use that to her advantage. But to what lengths would she go with my secret? How many more hearts would she claim? How many more playing cards would be found? One way or another, I would have to stop Rigby Brewster. But would I end up being outed myself as a serial killer to stop her? Only time would tell. Well, my friends, I hope you enjoyed a trip back to Strictfield as much as I did. And that Angel of Death has, well, pardon the pun, has her work cut out for her. So, I hope everyone's doing very well. I, myself, doing pretty good. In fact, Rob Fields wrote this story based on the fact that I had the sniffles pretty bad a little while ago, and I thought it would amuse me to have a story about having the flu. So, thank you, Rob, and I look forward to seeing you, Rob, in Cleveland, Ohio, this weekend at the Cinema Wasteland Convention. If you are anywhere near Cleveland and you need something to do this coming weekend, the weekend of April 8th through 10th, 2022, go to cinemawasteland.com and get yourself some tickets. I'll be there selling movies and hanging out, having a good old time. So, if you want to join me, please do. So, I also want to take a moment to say a big thank you to our Patreon backers who have stuck with us for yet another month. I'm hoping that by the end of this year we'll hit 100, but we're at about 80 right now. So please, for as little as $1 a month, jump on board and help us bring the spooky every single week. I really do appreciate it. Speaking of which, I want to say an extra special thank you to our Patreon podcast boosters, folks who pay just a little bit extra every month to hear their names through my velvety voice on the show. They are Christopher Sullivan, Kathy Proquet, Gino Lyons, Karen Wiemet, Jack Kerr, Jeff and George Hilton, Craig Cohen, and Kevin Fry. Thank you all so much for the support. It really, truly means the world to me, and I really sincerely thank you. If you want to show some support, but Patreon isn't quite your thing, head to weeklyspooky.com. We have brand new merchandise available, including t-shirts based on the legend of Strictfield, Weekly Spooky's own little horror hamburg. But anyway, I got to get out of here and get ready for my trip to Cleveland. So for myself, for executive producer Rob Fields, for my producer Dan Wilder, and my composer Ray Mattis, I will talk at you later, my friends. Stay spooky.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to find your way back next week. But for now, you are safe. Trust me.